Episode 34 of the Gratic Sports Podcast is now live. The episode that everyone's been waiting on, mostly because it's been 2 months.
Bated breath for 2 months. That's hard. Rough to do. But we there's somebody I know has been waiting, Matt Ridgway, we're here for you, buddy.
We did wait a couple. We took our time through the holidays. We were kind of busy. We were trying to take time off. So we're back and better than ever, you know, like the old Mike and Mike thing.
I dig it.
We've got a lot to talk about. A lot. I teased this on Twitter earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. We are announcing the All Gratic Sports team this week.
Yeet.
Let's do this.
Let's get in.
But first, let's get into the game that's happening on Monday.
Now that was a tease.
Yes.
Wait, there's a game Monday? They haven't moved it back yet?
Not yet.
Some COVID crap?
Let's just remember fake news and all that kind of jazz, because it's amazing that all the news that was coming out about
Ohio State just wants more
we'll get to that too. Let's just remember that all the news about COVID being in the Ohio State program was coming from Alabama, because I looked at my Ohio State beat writers that I follow, nothing, zero information about it. So let's just pause. Let's talk about this game though. Game that I frankly did not foresee coming. Being an Ohio State fan.
One of us did.
Coach, to his credit, texted us before the game and said, "Ohio State's winning, boys." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, coach. Yeah, we'll believe that when I see
it." But I guarantee you, he didn't say before the game that Justin Fields is going to throw for 6 touchdown passes. He threw for more touchdown passes than incomplete passes.
Incompletions. He had the same number. I did not think it was going to be a blowout victory. I definitely, if you'd have told me that he got speared in the left kidney and started peeing blood on the sidelines, that he would have kept playing and done as well as he did too. And listen, the hit was a football hit. Now I realize by the letter of the law, it's starting. I'm not making any comment about that. Yeah. My comment is the toughness that Justin Fields displayed to be able to come back in and continue pouring it on. Basically, a Clemson team that a lot of people said was going to run through them.
Those two throws, those two deep balls that he threw, were the two best throws I've seen all season.
They were good.
And those are when, obviously, he got a shot at halftime. He had to get something. He was feeling,
there's no doubt.
He was feeling pretty good after halftime. Because you take a hit like that, you're done. you're usually knocked out as a quarterback.
He didn't run after halftime.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it did not affect his arm. And I'm no quarterback, but when you get hit in the ribs and you twist every single time to cock back and throw, it had to have some effect, but no, it didn't. He threw those two dimes. But I want to talk about Trey Sermon too.
Oh man,
The kid that went to Oklahoma, a Sprayberry product, a Georgia kid. You know, a lot of Georgia kids performing well for this Ohio State team, and I was very impressed with Trey Sermon. Obviously, in the first half, Clemson was without some people in the back end because the kid targeted the week before,
right?
And then you got them, but then you traded it out for Skowski. So it was kind of a hit and miss. Ohio State was doing whatever they wanted offensively. And it was kind of, you got to score every time if you're Clemson.
And they didn't.
They could not block a 3 or 4 man rush.
Nope.
Trevor Lawrence is the greatest quarterback we've seen in college football, possibly. He's up there. But guess what? You don't throw when you're on your butt. Yeah. And they were getting 3 people rush and dropping 8. And if you can get a rush with 3 or 4 guys and drop 7 or 8 each time, you're not going to be very successful offensively.
Especially when you're playing behind the 8 ball, too.
Right.
You know, and Ohio State was able to get up early. Otherwise, you're able to maybe turn and hand the ball to Etienne a little bit, which, Ohio State, to their credit, again, did a tremendous job. The matchup I really thought Clemson would have started to take advantage of, which we saw early, was Etienne in the passing game out in the flats when he was matched up in man coverage.
And nobody could stop him.
It happened
early. We couldn't
stop
him.
But then they stopped. They stopped going to that. Ohio State, to their credit, made some adjustments.
It might have been because, I know Dabo is an offensive guy, and I'm not making any excuses, obviously, because I think Ohio State was obviously the better team that night. Tony Elliott, who calls the plays or has a hand in calling the plays, was not there.
Right.
And not taking anything away, because I guarantee Dabo calls a lot of plays when he wants to as well. But it definitely, Dabo, he didn't call a good game at all. He definitely did not call a good game. And obviously, when you're a head coach, it is hard to be a coordinator and a coach at the same time. And, credit Ohio State's defense. They heard all year. I mean, Dabo said they were the 11th ranked team. I'm sure they got underneath their skin a little bit, and obviously I think that's it.
And I want to say this too. No, that got under their skin a lot. But it wasn't just that. Guys, you take 365 days of knowing they lost that game.
Bingo.
And how they lost it too. How they lost the game. And I have ribbed Ohio State. I've ribbed you a lot. Because, of course. But I'm going to tell you this right now. They didn't win that game because they had only played five or six games. They won that game because on that night, they were the better football team, and they showed it on the field. And so congratulations, Ohio State. Your prize might be the best offense in the history of college football.
Speaking of the best college – offense in college football, Alabama just completely steamrolled Notre Dame, and as nobody was really surprised, I mean, we all kind of felt that Notre Dame was not going to put up a fight.
They covered the spread.
No.
I don't know if they covered the spread or not. They didn't cover the receivers.
It was 19 and a
half. They didn't cover the receivers ran by them. I'm not sure about the spread. They didn't cover Devontae Smith.
How much did Alabama take their foot off the gas in the third quarter?
And they did, and they decided
they got conservative.
They realized we need to be healthy going into the final game. Let's just go. We're up by 3-4 touchdowns at this point. Let's just chill. Yeah.
But also, when you have Devontae Smith, I mean, the Heisman Trophy winner, you're throwing the ball to
Mac Jones.
Two-fourths of the Heisman invitees are on your team. Plus, the guy that probably should have been invited, Najee Harris, who is as good as anybody.
Jalen
Waddle's
coming back.
By the way, that run that Najee Harris had, oh my God.
I mean, he's a cheat code at this point. And again, I did. I picked Ohio State to beat Clemson. They're the better football team. I don't know that anybody's beaten Alabama. I'm just being real with
Najee Harris is a more athletic Derrick Henry. I want you to realize this. He is pretty much the same size as Derrick Henry, except he has the hops. Derrick Henry does not have those hops.
Hops and speed.
Yes.
He's faster.
Yes, he's more agile. He's literally a creative player. If you wanted to go in and create a player on Madden, he would be your ideal-looking kid.
By the way, Derrick Henry just became the 8th player in NFL history to cross 2,000 yards in a season.
That's why I kind of brought him up.
Anybody know the rest?
Chris Johnson. Earl Campbell?
Nope.
Barry Sanders?
Yes.
Emmitt Smith?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was one.
I was about to say, wait a second now.
I was like, he was one. All right,
behind that Cowboys offensive line, he never got 2,000.
He did, but it was later on.
Yeah.
It was not when he was, you know, not in the prime time. Terrell Davis.
TD, yeah.
OJ Simpson. Nobody named the Juice. The Juice got loose before he got the White Bronco. Juice was loose.
All right, let's
pretty solid list.
So if we're previewing that game, let me really quickly say this, though. I do think Alabama's the better football team. I am picking them to win.
100%.
If Ohio State can hold serve, and what I mean is if they can score every time they touch the ball too, they'll have a chance. That's the only way I think they can beat Alabama is they are going to have to – because, I mean, even – listen, I was high on him. I love him. And you're not going to ever get me to disown the guy. But if Stetson Bennett can go into Tuscaloosa and have the lead at halftime, Justin Fields can go have the lead at halftime as well.
Well, listen to this. If Justin Fields
– better offense.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, Ohio State's got a better offense than Georgia.
Yes.
And if Georgia can do that at half, I mean, I could see it. However, this is for my buddy Clay, okay? Clay, I love you. This whole deal, like Coach White said, that the whole reason that Clemson – got beat was because we had played less games is BS. Because honestly, Clemson looked at us and saw that we had played less games and said, we don't have to prepare for them. Because that's just honestly how their coaching looked, honestly. Because it looked like they just got outcoached and outplayed, period.
They were outplayed and outcoached. I doubt that they took them lightly. The one thing I will say to kind of just have a little back and forth with you is this. I don't think the rest hurt them, but I will say that they had less opportunities to become injured as well.
That's fair.
You know, you take a Sermon out like a, you know, or a Waddle and guys like that. That would be my only gripe. But no, they're the better football team. They were just better, period.
You look at the games, though, Alabama has lost over the years in these big-time games. The quarterbacks that beat them were pretty doggone good. Deshaun Watson in the national championship game obviously was big. If Justin Fields can get about 85-90% and throw the ball as well as he did, because Alabama's going to have to make a choice. It's a really tough choice. And, you know, they've only had, this is going to be Ohio State's seventh game. This is an advantage for Ohio State. Eighth game. Well, this will be their eighth game.
Yep.
They played seven. So they have seven games of film on them. I mean, Trey Sermon can catch the ball out of the backfield. They're going to have to play man-to-man defense on the outside, which is what they do.
Yeah. By the way, Trey Sermon has had a total of two games that he has actually shown out as a Buckeye. Right. Because the Big Ten Championship and then Clemson. That's it. Every other game. He had 331 yards alone in the Big Ten Championship, and he had 324 yards the entire season before that.
Well, all I know is Ohio State knows where to go to get their players.
I'm not arguing. I'm telling you, I give Ohio State a chance. I know Alabama's offense is so good.
Yes.
But you have to make a decision, and I look to see a lot of RPOs from Justin Fields and Ohio State because there's only so many players on the field. You're going to be playing man up, and that, if that offensive line can hold up, Justin Fields and those guys can run loose a little bit.
Well, what about RPO with a guy who's missing three ribs from last week?
I'm just
being real. I'm going to tell you right now. Just give him
a shot of whatever he did in the third quarter. Just give him that shot right there.
We talked about the motivation of the 11, which was a big deal for the Ohio State players. And if you don't think so, you can look at their social media after the game and saw 11th question mark, you know, constantly across the board on a lot of those.
Don't give teams bulletin board material. That's 101, Dabo.
Here we go. Speaking of bulletin board material.
What you got?
Kristen Saban-Satus, Nick Saban's daughter, tweets this on Monday. If you're not confident to play, then say it. I call BS on the COVID cases. They're just worried about their quarterback and want him to have more time to heal. If he's hurt, put in your backup. You don't want to see us postpone the rest of the season to wait for Waddle. Bye.
My favorite. Well, here's the thing.
Shots fired.
Ohio State has not said anything about COVID.
No.
Nothing about COVID. No. It's been the media, and it's been terrible. And the funniest thing, though, was Cardale Jones.
Cardale Jones responds to it and says, "How'd you do with the last time you faced a backup quarterback from Ohio State?"
Man, you know what? He was on 14 and a half minutes of fame. He had to get 15 in. He had to get number 15 in right there.
I'll go on the record and say this. I'm a huge Ohio State fan. You will probably not find one in this area bigger than me. Ohio State's going to beat on Monday. They are. Alabama's just the better team. And I mentioned this to Matt Ridgeway on a phone call a few weeks ago. It didn't matter who was playing this championship against Alabama. Bama's just on a different level this year. And it's just hard to beat.
I agree. I want a good game, though.
I'm telling you this, and it's happened in the past with Alabama assistants. Happened with Lane Kiffin a little bit.
This is a good point here.
Steve Sarkisian just got the Texas job.
Yes, he did.
We're not talking about a puny job. We're talking about a Texas job, which is a top five, top ten job.
It's a top five pressure job.
It's a top five pressure. Absolutely. Don't be surprised. I'm just saying. I mean, don't be surprised. Ohio State keeps it close. I think that they win by 10. I think Alabama wins by 10, but I think it's going to be a very good football game.
All right. Two more topics before we get to our big Greatest Sports football team and superlatives. We've got the Hawks, guys. The Hawks don't look terrible. They don't. They started the season off, 3-1? And I think they're now, 4-3?
Yes.
So the past couple of games, they've gotten into an issue where they've gone up big, and then it just seems like they got lazy on defense and have given up the lead. So
millions of dollars.
Not Atlanta teams blowing leads.
Yeah, imagine that.
15-point leads in both games. Let me just take over.
Yeah, you guys go. I'm gonna poke at you.
They were 4-1. Really good. Started off 3-0. You know, split the last two, and you know everybody in the NBA complains about playing back-to-back nights. Like, oh, give me a break. You get to fly your private jet. You get to go play 30 minutes. And then you turn around and fly back, and you're tired, you're jet lagged. You're a professional athlete.
You don't do anything else.
Your body is taken care of better than anybody in the world.
Yes.
You shoot a basketball and run up and down the court. How tired? If you are a professional,
send them to practice with me.
It is so frustrating.
Get them in shape.
That they're tired.
Get them in shape.
And I understand it's not about early on in the season. It's an 82 or it's a 72-game stretch this year. I don't want to hear it. They're professional athletes. And the last two games that they've lost have been on Lloyd Pierce. It truly has been on Lloyd Pierce. In basketball, Coach, just to talk to you a little bit about some basketball, you got a 15-man roster. Mm-hmm. You got probably 9 to 10 guys that are going to play.
That can play.
The other six guys are there to give you water, give you cheers, and get in an extra time. The Hawks have a pretty solid five, six guys.
Right.
And then the bench, it obviously kind of
they're starting
sputters.
Five, I would put up against a lot of
they're
teams
starting
in
five
the NBA.
Is a playoff team in the
100%.
NBA. 100%. Absolutely.
Their bench is something to be left desired.
Absolutely. And that's been the problem the last two nights. Lloyd Pierce has left the bench in way too long. The entire third quarter, other teams have put their starters back in the game when they built these 15-point leads. And by the time you get back in the fourth quarter, not even call timeouts either. You know, if you're tired, you got 10 timeouts in the NBA. It's ridiculous.
Guys, you got that, and you got your commercial breaks.
Yes.
When the ball goes out of bounds. There's no reason to not be in shape at this point. You've literally had months to be in shape, and you've done nothing else. So if you're not in shape now, it's nobody's fault but your own, especially when you get paid money to play a sport.
It's just
okay?
It's,
I don't
want to
hear that you're tired. But I'll say this. This will be my two cents on basketball and the Hawks. I'm going to take the field right now.
Yes, I will also take the field. But I do really like this team. I think a lot of things to watch, though, for this Hawks team. John Collins is a star.
Yep.
He is a star.
Is he a max star?
That's my next question. Is he going to step up and be a max player? Because I've seen a lot of reports. 2021 is one of the biggest, best free agent classes. But now, I think Anthony Davis has already signed an extension. LeBron signed an extension. Giannis signed an extension. So all the big-time players are kind of already signing. John Collins might be one of the top free agents on the market next year and looking for his first really big contract. So the Hawks, either they need to trade him before the deadline and get some pieces, get a draft pick, or they need to money up, pay the man. And I hope they pay him because he's finally playing in the four spot. He's had to play the five, a 6'9 guy in the NBA.
It's nice to have Clint Capella as your
five. It's very nice having Clint Capella as the five. So the Hawks really just have some decisions to make whether or not they want to build around him or not. And it really said something to me that they didn't get a deal done before the season started.
All right, real quick before we get to the superlatives. UGA got some really good news this week. JT Daniels is coming back. Cook is coming back, and Wyatt is coming back for the 2021 season.
And Jordan Davis put
and
a tweet
Jordan
out there.
And Jordan Davis, too.
Possibly unfinished business.
So,
but Tyson Campbell's gone. Eric Stokes is gone. Monty Rice, obviously gone. Richard LeCount gone.
LeCount, yeah. Just here's the thing. As a non-UGA fan, I'm excited for y'all. I really am. I'm excited because I liked where UGA was going with that offense at the end of the year when JT Daniels finally took over, which is what I talked about needed to happen pretty much week one. Did I not?
Did.
Everybody else was like, we need to look at Stetson Bennett. I was like, I don't know, guys. Daniels is legit. Let's talk about him.
Be the fourth, baby.
That's my so, guy.
Hey,
still love the guy.
Hey, he came in. Hey, I'll say this. JT Daniels got his helmet knocked off. He came in the bowl game and delivered a dime for 12 yards.
Third down,
delivered a dime.
Ice water in that man's veins.
So
ice water.
Dipping his lip, ice water in his veins.
I am excited for y'all because I really like where Monken's going with this offense, and I think that he's got a great quarterback to go with it. You're already running.
They will have the best receiving core in the SEC next year.
I think this will be the best receiving core in the University of Georgia's history of playing the football.
I think so, too.
I mean, I'm serious. These guys can go.
Matches
there's guys
Reggie
coming
Brown,
back.
Fred Gibson, and that whole team back in 2000.
Yeah, I mean, Damian Gary was a good one on that team as well, 04, 03, that area. But,
you got George Pickens.
Who would be, I think, and y'all may call me crazy, he'd be the first or second wide receiver taken in this year's draft.
His only issue is getting personal foul penalties.
I'm serious.
That's literally the only issue.
Y'all might call me crazy. He would be the first or second wide receiver taken in this year's draft, okay?
Behind Devontae Smith, yes.
Yeah, and Devontae's not a big guy, right? George Pickens is that guy that you put on the outside and you say, go one-on-one, you're going to win this matchup. But the one that has been forgotten for this year, Blaylock. Blaylock is a dude that'll be coming back. Now, there's a lot of good things to like. I think the biggest retaining things for the University of Georgia this year is going to be Jordan Davis, number one, really number two.
They can get him back.
Yeah. The main thing that we got to make sure nobody snatches up is the offensive coordinator. And I know we signed him to a contract, but this guy, I mean, he's probably head coaching material, and there will be coaching carousels and turnovers. That's the main thing to retain. That happens. Cook's coming back. The offense is going to be fine. In the middle, linebacker-wise, I think we're set. We've got some good young players that can play on the front. We just keep rolling them in. the key is going to be the secondary. Ringo is going to have to come in to play next year. He didn't play at all this year. Those young corners and safeties seen coming back is big. I tell you, he had a great
Smith,
game.
Latavius Breeny.
Breeny had a tremendous game against Cincinnati. Yeah. That guy looked really good. But that's the key, is the Georgia secondary.
Nakobe Dean played the last three games of the season with a torn labrum.
Yeah, that hurts.
At middle linebacker.
Which, that hurts.
As a UGA fan, you guys have to give it up to Luke Fickell and that Bearcats bunch, man. Oh, that was a hell of a game.
He can tell you from our Thursday night shows. I've been talking about Cincinnati all year being one of the best teams in college football.
Well, that if was you look before. At their roster, you take a look at their roster, grad transfers, experience, football team, man. Yes. And Luke Fickell can coach the football.
Fickell
when Ryan
coach.
Day takes the Jaguars job, Luke Fickell might get a call
happening.
From Ohio State.
That ain't happening.
Well, hey, did y'all see – so, you know, real quick, I know we got to get to the picks. There's an app where you can see all the planes in the United States where they're flying to. There was a flight from Columbus to Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, you know who lives in Columbus?
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I know. It's Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer will probably be the next coach at either Jacksonville or Los Angeles.
And that will be the next team that I hate.
That's fine. And honestly... honestly,
unfortunately,
I had
you're
this
gonna be you got to cheer against
here's
Trevor
the thing.
Lawrence.
Yes,
here's the thing. I had a conversation.
He didn't play at Georgia.
I had a conversation with a friend of the podcast, Donnie Carr. He asked me. He said if Urban is there, because there was talk about Urban going to a lot of NFL teams. He says, "What if Urban came to Atlanta?" I said, first of all, no.
Already hate Atlanta sport.
As an Atlanta fan, I love Urban to death. I do, because he gave us a championship. That's a big thing. He also took one away from us. So it's kind of meh. But he's a motivator of young men. And I don't think that will translate over to the NFL game.
I don't think he translates to the NFL game. You know what you got to do to win in college? Get better players than the other team and don't screw it up.
Yep.
In the NFL, they're all good.
Yep.
They're all good in the NFL.
All right. The moment you guys have been waiting for, and we teased this earlier in the week, and I can't wait, man. We did have a sit-down, drag-out, knockout punch, you know, with a bunch of the Gradix Sports team, and we came up with this team and the superlatives for it.
I'd put this team up against anybody in the state.
100%, dude.
Come
honestly.
On, get some.
I mean, it's...
I know Gwinnett County's got some studs. I know Cobb County and everybody's got some studs. It's this team I'm super excited about. We'll say the superlatives best for last, right?
Yeah, of course.
We'll go straight down the list.
Go defense first.
Absolutely.
Of course.
I always read defense
should be.
First. The defensive line position.
And we added a fifth, right?
We added a fifth linebacker.
A fifth linebacker, sorry.
We had to. We literally had to.
Yeah, I mean, there's
good
too many.
Ones in this area. Really good linebackers.
We have the best linebackers. We have two that are in the nation's running for the
Butkus
Award.
Award. Yeah.
The first defensive line position, Justin Isler from Temple. The Appalachian State commit. Also played tight end for him, a really good blocker. But he really changed the component of that Heard County game.
Yes, he
they
did.
Moved him to nose guard, and he completely took over the ball game. And Justin Isler, a great career. He was a force last year, made the team last year. So this is his second time on the team. Congratulations to Justin Isler. Any comments on
that? Yeah, real quick for me, just a matchup nightmare. When you move him around, it's instant pressure. And so he was a matchup nightmare. You needed to know where he was on the field. So he was an imposing defensive lineman.
And he'll be a great player in the Sun Belt.
I agree.
A great player. Another defensive lineman. They call him the Rev. I saw him at One Life Fitness yesterday getting the workout in. Christian Zachary, the Rev, heading to the Liberty University to play for the Flames. And for Hugh Freeze, at least for the time being, hopefully he doesn't go anywhere. He's doing a great job with that program. But Christian Zachary, a kid that obviously transferred into Carrollton and was an instant impact, helped out that defensive line tremendously.
Yeah. Well, for me, personally, got to teach him United States history, and he was an absolute joy to have in class. He is a different guy, but what I love about him, and it shows on the football field, he is passionate. He's passionate about his Lord and Savior, and he is passionate about getting after the quarterback. Liberty got an absolute steal in this kid. Matchup nightmare, absolutely well-deserved.
He was the anchor of that Carrollton defensive line, and that's something to say considering that defense. So you have to give it to Christian Zachary. I mean, we talked about it, and it was like a no-brainer. I mean, Zachary was just that one person, that one from Carrollton that had to be on that line.
And this is kind of the same thing for this football team as well. Riley Bell from Harrelson County High School.
Easy answer.
He's only a junior, folks. He was an all-region performer this year, and he's definitely makes our team this year. And as long as he stays healthy, he'll probably make it again next year. He was that good. I mean, he was a force. He had a big strip sack in that Callaway game, I believe. But he was – Callaway couldn't block him. And I know they had an offensive lineman out, but Callaway could not block him. And I don't care. They won the state championship. Congratulations to Riley Bell at Harrelson.
Congratulations to that dude.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, too, Callaway actually tried to get help to that tackle multiple times. So he was beating double teams, and it was just such a great game
Manster.
To watch.
Yes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And then finally, another kid that had a fantastic career at Bowden, Garrett Gray.
Made
the team last year, another two-time All-Gradic Sports Football Team awardee, Garrett Gray, Bowden Red Devils.
Yeah, we don't pick no slouches over here, guys. If you're on this team, you're pretty doggone good. And for him to be on it twice, you know, speaks to how well he played football for Bowden, especially during that transition time where those guys went from being to now they're contenders. You know, great football team.
So as a former offensive coach, I mean, you have to look at that defensive line and go, oh that's not good for us.
You know, I love defensive.
I do want to preface this.
I was a defensive coach, by the way. I mean, I don't.
That's right.
Listen, I don't need you that rep ever getting out. I don't do offense. The rules are not catered to us, okay, on the defensive side of the ball.
They're not at all.
My bad.
I do want to say, though, when we sat down and chose these teams, We pick the best player. We don't try to go and pick five players from each team from each local team. I mean, we could do that, but that's a disservice to everybody.
Yeah.
And people's feelings are going to get hurt in this. I understand that. They always do.
I hope not.
And
I mean, instead of being butt hurt,
this is what Coach Finley said.
Be excited for the other guys.
This is what Coach Finley said. I sent him his players, and I don't mind. He won't mind saying this. I sent him the players that made his team, and he threw out a couple other kids' names and said, you know, they're not going to be on the team this year. He's like, that's fine with me, something to work for next year.
That's it.
That's what it should be.
It's not a shot at you at all. It's motivate you, and you should celebrate the other guys that did make it.
And that's exactly what he did. He said, congratulations to everybody that
made
it.
That's it.
Exactly.
Don't be jealousy takes you nowhere. Hard work takes you somewhere.
All right, now here I'm just going to run through all five of these linebackers really, really, really fast. Because these are the five best linebackers in our area.
In the state.
Chaz Chambliss.
Stud.
Jared Anderson.
Stud.
Jared Ned.
Stud.
Ty Brown.
Incredibly stud.
And Antonio Crapp.
Dude, what can you say that
that's
negative?
Two Carrollton kids, Chaz Chambliss, Jared Ned. Jared Anderson, who you could have made a defensive player of the year argument for every single linebacker on this list.
Completely and totally agree.
And if I'm not mistaken, and I don't mean to pull the curtain back too much, but we did make defensive player of the year arguments for several of them.
Yeah,
that was the longest argument we had was defensive player of the year.
100%.
And it's because of guys like this. I'm going to tell you, you know, last year you guys talked about this being the area that was deep with running backs.
Yeah, last year it was the running backs. This year is definitely the linebackers.
Find me another area that's got linebackers like that.
Yeah.
And I promise you, there's five more right underneath that we could name. But, yeah, super, super. I mean, just in that one right there, I know that just because I'm the Carrollton guy, you got a University of Georgia signee, early signee.
Memphis.
You got a Memphis early signee right there.
Ty Brown's getting a lot of
– And the other three are getting a lot of looks. Yeah. And the other three, all three of them. There's not one guy there that's kind of like, eh.
They're all five of them will play in college. And Jared Ned, Chaz Chambliss, Carrollton – Jared Anderson at Bowden High School, Antonio Crapp at Harrelson County, and Ty Brown with his gold shoes.
Man.
He was the anchor of that Temple defense, and this might have been the Temple's best defense they've ever had. I mean,
I know it's the best team they've ever had, so it might as well be the best defense they've ever had.
I mean, they were pretty good.
That secondary that we just mentioned is
linebackers.
Linebackers. It's like I said, it's hard to say anything negative about any one of them. The way that each one of them played, you knew what you were looking into. Those are people that, and this is something else that we talked about when we were making these choices, were which players are actually like nightmares for opposing coaches to look at. And these are the players that if we thought about, okay, as an opposing coach, what players would we have to worry about? And these linebackers were all just
got to block number 10.
You have to block these people.
Got to block number 5. Whatever. Got to block these guys. Going to the secondary, another very solid group. De'Adrick Cook from Temple, his second time on the Graddick team for him, big year. Tucker Hendricks, which you could have put him up for almost any of these awards.
He was up for a lot of them. He really was.
He won Ironman was a part of the Ironman. They actually chose two Ironmen for the region, and he was one of them. And he's definitely a kid that had, I think, 94 tackles. From his defense, and
granted,
started at quarterback and running back.
Starting a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid was just, he was awesome. And he was an even better safety in our opinion. So,
And then the two Carrollton kids that really had huge years. David Johns had 8 interceptions this year, 3 away from the school record.
Ridiculous.
And I think 4 of those went for touchdowns.
I was going to say, there's several pick six.
And then Juan Nieves had 4 interceptions this year, and 3 of those went for touchdowns. So, the defense, the back end at Carrollton, Juan Nieves, his second year in a row. Last year, Juan had 4 pick sixes.
Yes.
I think he ended his career with 7 pick sixes.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But these secondary guys are another matchup that you have to worry about. And you,
and all
they
these
probably
guys, you put them
schemed.
On an island. Obviously, they're all
100%.
Corners except for, I take that back.
They're
Nieves,
all safeties.
They're all safeties.
Yeah.
There's my challenge.
They're all Roman.
I need a dog to play corner next
De'Adrick
year.
De'Adrick Cook is a
I know,
true
he's a true
he's
corner.
The only one.
We need some dogs at corner next year, guys. Need some dogs.
Who was a stud, by the way. De'Adrick Cook is a stud.
And not saying that there weren't good corners.
No.
But the safeties were the group that showed out this year at the defensive back position.
Absolutely. The returner and the punter, Dylan McCoy from Bremen and Preston Gentry from Carrollton. Both these kids, young kids, both will be back next year.
That's
Dylan
right.
McCoy had 3 total returns for touchdowns. And if they didn't have him in that game at Elbert County, they would have won.
First round game.
Right.
If they didn't have him in that kickoff return, they would have not won.
And if I'm not mistaken, too, Dylan McCoy came on late, too, in the season. Is just
yes,
he was kind of there, but he just kind of picked up his game after game after game and got better.
He missed some games early and then actually got hit and got hurt.
But it didn't matter because, I mean, he was just so good at what he did, and that's why we had to pick him for the returner.
And I know you normally don't get on punters much, babe. I know he made it as a punter.
I'm about to –
You
going
to go?
I was going to go off. I know he's your student, but I'll let you brag on him, but I'm going to go real quick. There are so many good punters in our area.
There are.
And I'm sorry that we – And next year, we're definitely going to do a special teams award. This is on me. Next year, we're going to do we'll do a full-on special teams
Let's
award.
Let's do it.
All right? So next year, because all these kids that I'm about to say are underclassmen, except for Corbin Waldrop. The punter at Central had a great year. Obviously, Douglas Bell is another kid at Bowden who had a great year as a punter and a kicker. But you're about to hear who our kicker is. But Preston Gentry, man, he had a fantastic year. I'll pull up his stats real quick, Coach, and let you let you talk about him. I know he's your boy.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously he made it as a punter, but he hit some huge field goals this year. 53-yard field goal, I believe, 59 yards. I don't know. He kicked it from bunkum. He drilled a field goal that mattered, right? But he continually flipped the field for Carrollton. And in Carrollton, especially early on, we're in a lot of defensive struggles. Like, they were in some battles. And he was a key component to be able to come in, whether it was a rugby-style punt or a traditional one-step, two-step punt. He was able to execute all of that, and the moment never got too big for him. That was the big thing for him, is the moment never got too big, and he's a good U.S. history.
Because even Jake Camarda can shank kicks.
Yes, and he did it in a big moment.
By the way, Coach
Preston
just brought out
that.
Bunkum.
Bunkum. I don't know if you guys have been to Bunkum. It's a real place.
Preston Gentry, 45 yards average on a punt.
Wow.
Long of 60. He had 10 inside the 20 and 3 inside the 5.
So 10 great, punts inside the 20-yard line, guys.
A great year for Preston Gentry.
What about PPR? What,
we're going to keep a stat
we
on.
Really
Come on,
need
Matt.
To start doing
Where's
PPR.
The stats at?
All right. It's time for the boring offense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had to put 2 quarterbacks on this.
Had
team.
To.
Yes,
had
absolutely.
To.
Because our Clay Hyatt was the MVP. And there's no question about it. He was definitely the MVP of the area last year. Had over, 2,400 all-purpose yards and really carried Harrelson County to the playoffs again.
Yep.
And he was the guy. Obviously, Mark Harris was a big factor this year, more on the offensive side of the ball and took the load off. But he's definitely got to be on this quarterback list.
Yes.
And the other quarterback, Robert McNeil, who outside of the linebacker conversation, the defensive player of the year, and maybe that last offensive line position, I think the MVP, which you'll hear in here in just a minute, you could have easily said Robert McNeil was the most valuable player in our area.
Him or Clay Hyatt.
Yeah.
Both of these quarterbacks could have made that. They were both in the discussion. Okay.
And rightfully so.
And should be.
And rightfully so. And McNeil had, I think, 3,000 yards combined, almost 3,000 yards between passing and rushing.
Wow. By the way, he did that after losing four of the first five games of the season.
That's right.
Which is,
and did that without his number one running back, Gage Stevens.
Exactly.
For a lot of time.
So you have to. I mean, that's why we talked about if you take McNeil off that team, that's right. Why the MVP conversation happened. If
that's
you take
right.
McNeil off that team,
if you take Clay Hyatt off
man.
Of Harrelson County, they don't beat the state champion.
No, that
team.
Way. Not only that,
he got the ball like 50 times against Callaway.
Well, and I know we've already mentioned one already, though. But how many quarterbacks do you know that step over and play defense?
Yeah.
But even on top of that, this guy steps over and plays linebacker.
Yeah.
He doesn't play. No, this is not a shot. The dude plays linebacker. Okay,
yeah, he
steps up and says, "All right, run the ball at me. See how this is going to show." And the words go to me, "That guy's just a freaking dude. You run the ball, Clay Hyatt. It's your fault. Your
and
own
we get,
fault."
And we get one more year of
yes.
We get two more years of Robert McNeil.
That's right.
Two
Neil.
Right. One year
and
of Clay Hyatt.
We get one more year of Clay Hyatt.
We get two more awesome. Years. We get two more years of Cam Vaughn.
Good
right?
football players. Yeah.
I mean,
Cam Vaughn was another kid. He was a possible newcomer of the year. Not to spoil it, but Cam Vaughn had a great year.
Yes.
It really came onto the scene. I mean, quarterback's definitely going to be a fun position to watch. I mean, it might be the year of the quarterback next
yeah.
year.
Yeah, we've got a lot of really good quarterbacks on the teams next year. And if I'm not mistaken, Bremen's actually been looking into this eighth grader that's coming up and will probably start for them next year.
Mason
that's,
Mims.
Yeah, yeah, he is really good. So I'm excited about to see what this team's – or what – this area is going to have with quarterbacks next year.
All right, three running backs. If you make this running back list, you're pretty doggone good because about, I would say, we got nine teams in our area. Pretty much all nine of our teams are going to run the ball 50, 60% of the time. Really and truly outside. I know Carrollton wants to throw it might be up in the high 60, low 70s.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot of carries, a lot of yardage. And the first running back on our list is Phillip Johnson. He was the offensive player of the year last year. And really and truly, it's because he did it all for the Temple Tigers. They did not have that Cam Vaughn. They didn't have Scooter Tanner as much. He was the guy last year. He had a lot of help this year. Took a little bit of toll down in the production. He also stepped over and played that safety, kind of outside linebacker.
He played safety. He yeah. played linebacker. Yeah. He actually punted the ball a few times this yeah. year, too. But he was just that player we talked about. What players do we need to scheme against? And Phillip Johnson, number 28, you need to pay attention where he is. I mean, and the bad thing is, you know where he is, and you know what he's going to do, and people still couldn't stop him.
The Moose, right? Moose. The Moose got loose several times, and you're right. The game plan against him, and it still doesn't matter, and that was the key to him, is to stop him before he got started. A lot of teams struggled to do that. Great young man. Enjoyed talking with him and his mother a little bit as well, but they – very good young man. I think he will be a very special player at the next level and very proud of him. I mean, he did a tremendous job.
Another great running back for the Mount Zion Eagles who is graduating this year, Dakota Browning.
Yes.
And you want to talk about just the job. I mean, they were kind of a team by committee. I mean, they had
a
lot of
yeah.
guys, but he was the cornerstone of that backfield and their offensive production.
Yeah.
That went from 1-9 to 8-3.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you have,
and I
when you
say,
have go ahead. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I want to say this about him really quickly because I've only got to watch Mount Zion really play one game, and it was against Bowden. That was a tough game for them. And this is a compliment of the highest degree. Dude is a legitimate fullback. Now, they're in the wing tee, and that fullback position most of the time is a tailback position, right? That dude's a throwback fullback, and he's got a little wiggle to him, so he's not just a straight up. But that dude puts his nose where it's supposed to go and runs forward. Like, I was impressed with it.
He got to the second level.
And he did.
That 69-yard.
Yes,
I remember that
he got loose
run.
Right there. Yeah. He impressed me with his physicality, the way he ran the football. He looks like a fullback. He plays like a fullback. And that's almost being like a defensive player on the offensive side of the ball. So that's special.
Having the offensive line ahead of you that Mount Zion did and having that game, or having what he does – he's just an impressive kid to me. I mean, just what he does, like you said, put your head down and run. It's hard to it's hard to stop those kind of kids. It really is, especially when you get as much speed as he comes and as big as he is.
We look forward to watching him for sure. Wherever he decides to go, I think a college should definitely take a chance on
him. Absolutely.
TJ Harvison from Villarrica, a young kid, only a sophomore, 600 yards rushing this year. But you got to remember, Villarrica only played, I think, 7 games.
Right.
And he really came on as a sophomore. Young kid, was it also big in the passing game as well. He's already got an offer, an SEC offer from Kentucky.
Yep.
As well. But Coach Nord, obviously, he was raving about TJ Harvison. And he was one of those guys that you got a game plan. You got to try to stop TJ Harvison.
That is the guy, really, for Villarrica that you have to game plan against. And not saying anything negative against Villarrica, but that's the guy that you needed to game plan against on the offensive side of the ball. And Harvison's just going to get better and better and better. If Coach Norrid has definitely, I felt like he turned that offensive line around this year as opposed to where it was the past couple of years. And I'm really excited to see what Coach Barron does with Harvison, because Coach Barron loves his running backs, man.
And that's one thing we obviously haven't got to talk about a lot real quick. We might as well spend a little time. I know we're in the middle.
Not so much breaking news.
Obviously, Tim Barron is now the new head coach at Villarrica, and Coach Shane Lassiter is taking over at Hur County. And we can talk a little bit about that more next week, obviously. Billy, tell us, I want to know that we were talking off, or we were just texting the other day, and you were telling us a little more about what Villarrica has gone through since, 2000?
Since 2000, Tim Barron will become the 9th head coach for the Villarrica Wildcats. They've had the most turnover. It just seems like they can't have they're just not happy with what they're looking at. Either that or, like, with Rico Zachary leaving for a different, a better job, which they gotta. I mean, you can't game plan for that. So having that kind of turnover, but going with Tim Barron, who spent the last 20 years in Franklin. Yeah. I mean, you've got to feel a lot better as a Villarrica Wildcat fan. And like I mentioned, Tim Barron loves his running backs, and he uses his running backs really, really well. So I'm excited to see what Harvison does
to run
the
eye formation. Yeah. Or Tim Barron does.
Yeah. And I think the main thing is he's going to create some consistency. That's the big thing, like you're talking about. It's all about consistency. But, yeah, young man had a tremendous year running the football. It was fun to watch those guys compete and play for one another. He definitely was really an epitome of that. He played for his teammates. He ran hard and competed. And that's why he's on the list.
The wide receiver position, we got 3 of them. Very talented kids. 1 junior and 2 seniors, Scooter Tanner. And, I mean, he was one of those kids that could have won Ironman, too. Yeah. I mean, he did everything for Temple and did it pretty doggone good.
And let's not forget this, too, guys. Scooter Tanner was last year's starting quarterback for Temple. He was their starting quarterback. So for him to move over to wide receiver and make all Graddock sports team as a wide receiver is just impressive. That just it just impresses me on what he was able to do. The times that he was able to get those passes off of Cam Vaughn, and it just seemed like they were always big passes too.
Yeah.
They were needed third downs or needed, you know, those things that you needed to happen. It just seemed like Scooter Tanner stepped up at the most ideal spot at the wide receiver spot.
And that's my thing for him, Billy, is, you know, going into the season, we knew about Phillip Johnson, but I also knew that he couldn't do it by himself. He would need some help. And to get help, Scooter Tanner would either have to be the guy under center or they would have to be able to involve him on the perimeter. Fortunately, they were able to get Cam Vaughn, and Scooter Tanner did not disappoint. He was able to alleviate that pressure and even still took some snaps from the quarterback position. He's a playmaker.
He did.
Tanner's a playmaker, right? He's a football. My thing that as we were doing this and we were meeting, we were all talking, when we would talk about certain guys, I would be like, dude, I don't care where you put him. He's a football player. You know, I don't care if you put him at DB. I don't care if you put him at wide receiver. He is a football player, and he's one of the best 12 guys that we have on the offensive side of the ball, and he absolutely deserves to be on the list.
Blake Matthews had over 563 receiving yards. He was the go-to guy for Tucker Hendricks and Brooks Hardy this year. And really, kind of like Scooter Tanner on the offensive side of the ball, if you needed a big play in the receiving game, you went to Blake Matthews, the sure-handed player who also played through ankle injuries the last 3 games of the season. So, and obviously, when you're at Bremen, you're playing both sides of the ball. He had 110 tackles and 4 interceptions.
Yeah, he played both sides of the ball.
Like
talked about a football player. Blake Matthews was just he's a really good kid too, and he's a I'll go ahead and say it. He's a hell of a baseball player. He really is.
I will wager a bet that every single one of these kids at one point or another in high school played both sides of the football. Or got a got an offensive carry. Because right. I mean, I'm looking at the defensive side of the ball, except really for Christian Zachary. I'm pretty sure every single, and heck, Christian Zachary might have got out there. I don't know, but every single one of these kids I'm looking at, I know played offense at one point or another.
Right.
And in their careers.
Yeah. So football players.
Put them on the field. These kids are just players.
Yeah, put your best 11 out there.
But Blake Matthews on Bremen was that player too on the outside. Bremen runs the ball a lot, but when they do pass the ball, they needed that go-to wide receiver, and Blake Matthews was it.
Tremendous. Again, football player.
Grant Briscoe, the senior wide receiver, yes, had 400 yards receiving, three touchdowns and 30 receptions on the season. Had some big. He was a possession kind of receiver. He's the guy that you run 10 yards to the sticks, turn around, you need a third down, and plant yourself right there. And he can also have some go up and get him.
He's the climb the ladder guy, too.
He also is the climb the ladder guy, as he proved in the Valdosta game. Had that big catch to take the lead in that game early in the third quarter. But he's also an athlete. He's going to Georgia to pole vault.
Right. He's early signing, right? Early signing at the University of Georgia. Be a pole vault champion there. But again, he's the guy that you like when it was tight and you needed a completion. That's the guy you looked for first. Well, and he showed up.
I think that was huge for James McCauley too, to come into a brand new program and go, okay, who's my guy? Grant Briscoe is my guy.
Yeah, this guy's got a catch radius. It's pretty big.
Yeah. You know, so he's six foot tall. He can jump. Really, really good.
And mom does a great job teaching science, by the way. but he's a good kid, man. He's one of those guys you see walking down the hall. He's going to speak to you. He's got proper manners and, just a tremendous job. Obviously, working within the means, I thought had a big year. Carrollton didn't throw the ball as much this year as they had in the years past. And he was the guy. When it was time, he was the guy. So well done to him.
To the tight end position, Dalton Payne, another kid. I'll have to read his stats, too, that Coach Russell sent.
Insane.
He had what we'll have later on. He had probably the biggest catch of the year for the Bremen Blue Devils, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But
got a good name. Payne.
There's a tease.
Payne. Great name for a football player.
I'll pull it up right here. Here we go. Dalton Payne had just over 200 yards receiving. He also had 80 tackles on defense.
Yeah, he was a stud linebacker, too, for them. It just seemed like he was clogging the hole for...
But the tight end position in this area is a lot more of just a blocking guy. Brundage was another kid from Carrollton that was up for this award. And there's obviously a lot of good tight ends.
Yeah, and with Bremen's offense, you have to think those were... You had two people. You pretty much had Blake Matthews and you had Dalton Payne. Yeah. Those were your two guys when you're not running the ball. And when you've got Tucker Hendricks and Brooks Hardy behind center, and one of them throws the ball really well and the other one doesn't do it as well or as often, you need those go-to guys. And when you've got Dalton Payne, who is a big dude, he is a big dude. When you've got him, that's an easy target to throw to. And for 200 yards passing or receiving on the year, we had to give it to him.
H-back, a position that is used kind of like a tight end. I mean, your tight end usually is the kid that lines up, but we had to give an H-back to Richard Hyatt.
Dick Hyatt.
Yes, sir.
Dude.
Yes. Richard Hyatt, all their big runs, Clay Hyatt, Mark Harris, they run behind Richard Hyatt every single play.
Stepped in, and this guy, a lot of people, and I get a little bit of a relationship with this guy, too. This guy was injury-plagued his entire career. I promise you, you would have known his name.
Tear both knees up?
He's tore everything. He's tore knees, shoulders, fists. His face probably at some point in time has been broken. Like, this guy is he's you want to talk about a throwback, dude. He's just going to hit you, and you stay hit.
Should we just name this the Caleb Hardeman position?
The Hardeman H-back award? But he did. He took
whatever
that position.
H-back is playing it, Carrollton County is going to get this award.
But, I mean, he does. He steps in. He's been traditionally was a defensive player his whole life. And, you get banged up. Your knees get banged up. You got good linebackers on the team like Antonio Crapp. Like, hey, man, well, there's a position for you right here. And he's able to come in and just mash people. So he overcame a lot in the 4 years he was at Harrelson County as far as injuries are concerned. And he is one of the toughest guys that I know. I mean, this guy, when he hits you, you stay hit, right? And so there's nobody, again, more deserving, to my knowledge, for the H-back award than Richard Hyatt. Well done. Well deserved, young man.
Let's get to those Casey Bass positions that he just loves.
the big boys up front.
Hogs.
The Hogs.
With a W.
Let me tell you, this might have been, this was one, I mean,
this
we
offensive had, great line, offensive is line. Ridiculous.
I'm telling you, the first three or four were pretty, easy. I mean, pretty unanimous.
Yeah, easy.
Pretty unanimous. And then after that, not saying that, like we said, not saying that there's no, you already know. I don't even have to repeat
Deal.
Myself again. Drew Cornelius.
Yep.
Stud.
Wyatt Bixler. Stud. From Temple.
Yes, sir.
And Lyndon Cooper from
yes,
Carrollton.
Yes, sir.
Stud.
Those three kids, not saying the other three kids don't come, immediately come to your mind, but when you think about offensive line in this area, I mean, Drew Cornelius completely locked up wherever, whatever position he played.
After, and he was injured at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
And the fact that he...
It was a big blow.
That's just one of those things. And again, we talk about this, and I know I'm repeating myself, guys, but you have to game plan around Cornelius. If you're a defensive line coach, you have to realize where this kid is and figure out how you can get around him, because it's almost impossible. I mean, the kid has had bad games occasionally, but it's very, very rare.
Also, when you talk about an MVP and how valuable he is, when he missed those first couple of games, right, it was noticeable.
Yeah,
it was noticeable, and he did. He locked people down.
Wyatt Bixler from Temple, a solid year. Obviously, he was the leader of that.
Yeah,
that Temple offensive line.
And he is. And speaking of, I mean that. That guy will make you jealous about hair, okay?
That's really hard to do, also.
He's got a nice set of locks.
He got a good mullet going.
He's a really, really solid and was one of the cornerstones for having Scooter Tanner and Phillip Johnson having those monster years.
Nothing else. He's the vocal leader there. And he had a little hog in him.
He did.
To be a hog, you got to have a little nasty in you. Again, you're almost a defensive player, almost.
And an he's getting looks from D1 schools, too. So.
All right.
That's awesome.
And then Lyndon Cooper.
Yep.
Lyndon Cooper, man, I'm going to tell you, he is a tremendous human being, too. And I know I get to shed a little insight with some of these guys because I work there. But not only is he a good football, he's a good human being. Early enrollee at NC State, you know, and he's got a shot to play there, guys. He is not a tiny, he ain't a puppy, right? He can get it done. But the most impressive thing about him is he understood all five positions on the offensive line. Early on, when they were having to put that fifth guy, we knew Carrollton was returning four guys, they had to put the fifth guy. You put him beside Lyndon. Connor Kennard, center, started center for the last couple of years, goes down, you slide Lyndon to the middle, and you start having him talk to both sides of the offensive line now. So did a tremendous job as a Trojan for the last couple of years. Proud of the young man that he is, and NC State's getting a good one.
And then the final three, Garrett Gordon from Mount Zion.
Yes, sir.
Jack Pullen from Bremen.
Yep.
And Colin Jenkins from Central.
Hogs.
I mean.
Central with Colin Jenkins, they pulled behind. He's the puller. They run Buck
Sweet. He's the guy
they're running behind.
Narada Levitt loves that kid, man. He really does. And he is probably one of the biggest catalysts for Levitt's year this year.
Yes, their offensive line did a tremendous job this year. Absolutely.
Jack Pullen did a real – he was
– All region performer.
Dude, he – The He's games that I got to see on video of him and watch him, he had more pancakes than I can remember than of any of their offensive line. So I mean, just this offensive line that we have is just ridiculously solid.
And then Garrett Gordon
man,
who graded out at 84% on the whole season, and he's
that's
another
high guys. That's a high offensive lineman grade.
And he's another kid that has dealt with injuries.
Yep.
And he don't complain.
He tried to go out there and play last year.
He tried to go out there and play with a broke foot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hogs do, baby. That's why you're almost defensive players.
And you know, when your dad's the coach, you feel like you have that extra oomph that you have to go out there and do stuff.
Well, and you're also going to get graded harder.
Him, yes, and that's true.
You're dang skinny.
And for him to grade what he graded, I'm serious. Oh, like, I'm not kidding. That is a high.
Coach Thrower does not take any pity on
If
on
anything, it will be worse, I promise you.
And I'll tell you this, from knowing Gordon as well as I do, because he is family, but knowing him off the field and knowing how much he cares about Mount Zion and how much he cares about football, it's just seeing him play is just an added bonus for me, because he really is a good kid and he's really good at what he does.
And since we're on the topic of Coach Gordon, I would never not say a bad word about him.
No, sir.
I don't.
You'd
have
never
a bad,
not say a bad word about him.
I guess that's kind of a
redundant,
double negative,
oxymoron,
redundant.
Regardless, he's our coach of the year. I'm going straight into it.
We're
on the topic.
There you go.
He is our coach of the year this year, and you might say, well, you know, Coach Smiley got Central back in the playoffs. Fantastic.
That was an argument.
That was a big argument. Coach Russell, you know, getting Bremen to the third round for the first time since 2011. Obviously, you know, Calhoun getting the Carrollton Trojans back. Coach Nord, even what Coach Nord did in an interim role, what he was able to do, his name was thrown out there.
Legitimate discussion with a lot of these guys.
You could have made an argument for, I feel like, I mean, Coach Ward, what he was able to do with the Temple football team.
Temple team in Temple history.
I mean,
and this guy went from being 1-9 to 8-2 in the regular season.
Yes.
Yep.
Period.
Period. End of discussion. Finished 1-9, had nobody, had no players last year. All of them hurt. He started the year, you get 11 guys on defense. He had one remaining at the end of the season.
And
I want you to comprehend that. You got 11 guys at a single A school, and only one of them started every single game.
Jeez.
Can you imagine that?
That's tough.
Can you imagine that?
You keep your nose to the grindstone. You keep working. You persevere.
And that's the good thing, though. 26 different players got a start last year that returned.
Right.
And they put their head down. And they didn't quit. They got down at Towns County. We know another coach in this building that got down at Towns County.
Didn't go well.
And it didn't go well, but it went well for this Mountain Zion team.
It's because of the head guy.
Yes.
The head guy is the one. They didn't quit during the summer. Right, he got them all to come back after going 1-9. Right, got all those kids to come back and not lay it down. And then when things got tough, they continued to fight. And they had several close games. You know, up at Dade County was a close game that they, you know, could have folded at, and they didn't. They didn't have any fold to them. The two teams they lost to were pretty doggone good football teams.
Yeah,
you know,
lost
in the regular season.
Bowden
Gordon
lost
Lee.
Lost to Gordon Lee.
You know, who was averaging a million and a half points.
Too, he had a brand new offensive coordinator this year. He basically was changing around his defense because he told us earlier in the summer, he's like, look, with what we have on defense, I think we need to change our defense up around. So
that's a great thing. See, I'm great. That's Billy. That's a great point, because he was not so stubborn in his ways to say, this is what I run and this is what we're going to run.
Right.
He said, these are the pieces I have. We're going to make it work.
Yep.
That's a good coach. I'm not saying change your philosophy, but if you ain't got 14 linebackers, if you ain't got three linebackers, it's hard to run 3-3, right? So he ran what worked for them, and he just did a great job. That's a great point on another reason why he is a well-deserved name for this award, and that's why he's our Coach of the Year. I mean, he did what
Absolutely.
It took and did a great job doing it.
Congratulations, Brad. We appreciate you.
Play of the year. We're just going to go from bottom to the top here. Play of the year. You know, last year there was a defining play, and that I felt like last year it was the Carrollton Rome game from last year, you know, Miles Morris to Austin Waldrop to win. That was ultimately to win the region championship. Right. That was kind of one of the defining moments of the season. Really and truly, it was kind of tough to pick one like play that just kind of stood out to everybody. And I threw out the 2-point conversion play. And I
here's the thing, and we talked about this too, because when we thought about plays, we were having a hard time thinking because there were
There were so many 90-yard runs, going
for it on fourth down on fourth and whatever it was on your own like nine or whatever it was, and we talked about all this, but the most season defining game was this, and this is the biggest
Temple wins, they're the 2 seed.
Yeah. Yes,
people don't understand that if Temple wins that game, they're the 2 seed.
Yep. Yeah.
If everything were to play out the way it were,
if
Bremen were to beat Harrelson County, they would have been the 2 seed.
Yeah,
and Temple's is in the playoffs as the 2 seed.
Yeah.
And not sitting at home, and
changes the landscape.
That's why
I think that's the play of the year. The other play for me was PV going for it on fourth down from his own half yard line, or whatever.
Fourth and 2.5. Yeah. It was almost 3 yards.
Yeah. Yeah,
from I don't know,
from their own 9 yard
shadow of his own goalpost. Like, let's just go for it. All right, guys, let's just get in here and go get the freaking first down. Let's go pound these guys. If that would have changed the game, I think that would have been in the argument. But this one sealed the deal, changed the landscape, and so there's no doubt. That's play of the year.
And another play I have to throw out there, too. Obviously, if Hurd County would have won the game, the 4th and 17 mm-hmm. fake
yeah.
punt
yeah,
on their
on
own
the list.
14-yard
yep.
line that yep. they went 86 yards. 86 on fourth down. Yeah.
So it's amazing. The funny thing is, like, the good thing for me being a producer, I got to hear two of those games.
Yeah.
Like, I got to hear the Bremen Temple 2-point conversion,
yeah.
and then the fake punt on 4th and 16 or whatever it was. Casey Bass was on the call for both
what
of them.
What was so incredible,
I got to hear
though.
Both of them. It's just, and it, I love my job, guys. I do. I love it.
It blows my mind, though, in that game. And, you know, this is kind of off the topic of it a little bit, but at the end of that play, Breeman goes crazy, which rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, they thought the game was over. The clock was on zero. The dummy in the booth running the clock. You don't run
the clock on a two-point conversion.
You don't run the clock on a two-point conversion. And then the officials leave the field. The Temple coaches and players have to go pull the referees back to kick off. And they don't call any unsportsmanlike conduct for storming the field. I couldn't believe that, but not to take anything away from Breeman in that play, but that was just an iconic.
Right.
That play was
memorable.
Memorable. Absolutely.
And it will be talked about.
Absolutely. Unsung hero.
Eons.
Unsung hero, coach, and I know this is your guy.
It is.
And obviously, you know, it's no secret, you know, Coach White coaches wrestling at Carrollton. But this was pretty much unanimous. As a matter of fact, it was unanimous.
Yep.
It was not even Coach White that brought him up. So for anybody that wants to speculate that, it was not Coach. All right. It was actually Clay Harden that brought him up.
Sure enough was.
It was Clay Harden that brought him up.
Was.
Who has not seen a Carrollton game all season.
No.
Right.
Well, he's watched some highlights. He went back and watched some highlights, but obviously he didn't go to a Carrollton game this year, and it's Brock Bibby. I mean, Brock Bibby, you can say so much about him, and I know I'm going to let Coach and Billy can say his piece with it, but I'm going to let Coach go because, yes, he had the stats. He had just as good a stats as Chas Chambliss, Jared Ned, Christian Zachary. But you've got all these studs. And not saying Brock Bibby's not a stud, because that dude is a stud. But he doesn't have near the praise. I don't know why he doesn't, but he doesn't, as the Chas Chamblisses or the Jared Neds. But Brock Bibby, unsung hero.
Congratulations to Brock. And this is part of the reason why I felt that Brock was the unsung hero and why it was unanimous. If you really think about that linebacker core, it's insane. It's a really, really stud linebacking core. You want to talk about stats all you want to. You want to talk about a person like Brock Bibby, who was in every play, it seemed like. And if it wasn't every single play,
he was on every special team.
He was making the plays, the monumental plays for Carrollton. When you needed a play done, it was Brock Bibby this year.
Two sacks in the Douglas County game were the turning points in that third quarter to get the ball back.
Exactly. And that's my point, is the fact that he was the one that you can have Chas Chambliss's stats, you can have Jared Ned's stats, all you want to. Brock Bibby was the person that was, when you needed a play, it seemed like Calhoun was like, I need this. Go make this happen.
And I'm going to say his stats, and I'll let you go to work because I know you have to. 55 tackles, 8.5 for loss, 5 sacks, and a forced fumble. Not bad when you're playing beside Chas Chambliss, Jared Ned, and all the Juan Nieves and everybody else in that linebacking core.
And he's moving around a good bit, too.
Yes.
But here's what I know, because Brock's going to listen to this. Greg's going to listen to this. That's his dad. And I know they listened to us name those linebackers because I know who they are. And they went, bull crap, I'm better than that guy. Because Brock's a winner. That's why all he wants to do is win, you know. And I've not been here very long, but Brock is one of my favorite people that I've got to coach. I'll tell you this about Brock Bibby. Brock Bibby's going to do what it takes to win, you know. And right now I've got a really cool gig to where I get to coach that guy. I just left him an hour or two ago. And then I get to come in here and I get to brag about that guy on the radio. Let me tell you something. When you need something done, Brock Bibby's your guy. You mention it to him, and he's going to do it. He is the typical old school, I'm downhill, and coach, I will run through a wall for you. If you tell me this is the way to be successful, this is what I'm going to do. And wherever he ends up, he's going to play college football. Wherever he ends up, they are absolutely, they're not just getting a really good football player. They are getting the absolute best teammate that they possibly could, because I have watched him lead men as a junior. I've watched him lead men as a senior. I've watched him come in and expect only excellence. And here's what I love about Brock. He's a foxhole guy, okay? What I mean by this, I almost feel like I'm giving the banquet speech right now, right? Here's what I mean by this. If Brock is lining up on Friday night and Alabama's coming to town to play Carrollton, and you ask Brock, what's the goal Friday night? To beat their freaking tails, coach. We're going to line up across from them, and we're going to win. I'm going to kill them, and I can't say – you know, half the things you want to say. If I, you know, and this means nothing to you guys, but if Kale Sanderson walked into the wrestling room tomorrow and said, I'm wrestling Brock Bibby, I'm saying, all right, Brock, how's this going to go? I'm going to kick his freaking tail, coach. That's who he is. And that's why he's doing it. He don't need you to high-five him. He wants to compete. He just wants the opportunity to compete, and he takes it. And I know I've kind of monopolized time. That's really one of my guys. That is a Trojan wrestler. That's a Trojan grappler, and he's one of my guys. And I am not just super proud of how he plays football. I'm super proud of how he lives his life. So congratulations.
Hey, guy. West Georgia.
Yeah.
Stop sleeping on this guy, Coach Dean. Stop. He's a dude. And the way I'm telling you, I don't care who you
all
are.
All these guys.
Coach Dean, I don't care who you are. He's got some guys sniffing with him right now. But I'm like, you're getting a football player.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Unsung hero. Our newcomer of the year. And last year we gave it to Ben Holland of Bremen, a kid that did not play, came out for football his freshman year, played, and quit, you know, gave it up. And actually was actually a workout guy. Just that's all he did. He won some weightlifting competitions, and Coach Russell finally got him to say, hey, come on out and play. And he had over, I think, 80 tackles. And hadn't played football since truly the eighth grade because he didn't play a lot his ninth grade year. Well, this year it's Trey White, another senior. Yes. And I know you're saying, senior, why are you giving the newcomer of the year to the senior? Well, when you don't play football at all since you were in rec ball and you come out and you lead the area in receiving yards and set Bowden records for receiving yards, I think it had almost 900 yards receiving. It was Robert McNeil's number one target. And just a stud. He's a really good basketball player, probably going to play basketball in college somewhere, hopefully. And he was, without a doubt, our newcomer of the year. And he was pretty much unanimous, too, almost.
Yeah, I think we had a couple of conversations about the newcomer. I know that Casey Bass really thought that Chief Borders would have been a newcomer, considering he was brand new in this area. But
he
wasn't brand new to football or brand new, you know, just... And the other name that I was bringing up, I think, but... After hearing Trey, and I didn't even think of Trey for some reason, but the other name that I thought of was Ty Brewer over at Central, the stud freshman linebacker from Central.
And he's one of those kids that could have made our linebacker
list. Yes, he's that good. But speaking on Trey, when you are the number one wide receiver for Robert McNeil and you are the go-to person for him, that's saying a lot, considering that McNeil started, you know, he was – starting last year.
Well, think about this. McNeil threw for almost 2,000 yards, and Trey White had 900 almost of them.
Yeah, he was the guy. Good. Not only that, hey, you know, he talked about breaking Bowden records. Bowden's been playing football for more than a couple of years.
A little bit?
You know, they played football for a long time. And, yes, traditionally, they're wing T, and we're going to run the football. But they've had some guys come through that can sling the rock, you know. And I'm going to go old school here. Obviously, Coach Hostetler's son, Evan, who's now coaching at Cedartown, could throw it very well. But, you know, Jake Rollins, Avery Cheeks, those guys could spin it pretty good. And so they've had some good quarterbacks come through there. And for him to come in and break some Bowden receiving records speaks volumes to that as well. So, again, well-deserved to this young man on his superlative award. It's fun to watch him play.
The Iron Man Award. You want to talk about another tough position.
Man.
This could have gone a lot of different ways. It is Mark Harris
from
Harrelson County High School. What can't you say about this kid? I mean, there's obviously so many kids that never left the field. But Mark Harris led the state in rushing for the first 6 weeks of the season.
Yep.
And then he played on the back end in a no-fly zone until that kind of – the Heard County game was obviously a little shaky, obviously.
They didn't throw his direction.
They did not throw his direction.
No.
They made sure to get away from Double Deuce.
Nobody threw towards Mark Harris.
See, and that's the thing.
Ask Chief Borders about getting hit by Mark Harris.
I'm a broken record on this.
Because they're good football players.
I'm a broken record on this. But when you're a coach and you have to not only scheme for one player on offense, but scheme for the same player on defense, that's tough to do and go, okay, where's 22?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what side of the ball he's on. He is just that good. And that's why he became our Iron Man, because he is just that good. When you have to worry about him running the ball,
he took a load off of Clay Hyatt, which is even more important. Football's a team sport. Yes,
absolutely.
You got your guys But Clay Hyatt was a one-man show last year. Mark Harris was more on the defensive end.
Yep. Well, they had two platoon last year.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Didn't have the ability to do that this year.
For the first 5-6 weeks of the season, Clay Hyatt was fresh. He didn't have to worry about anything.
He got to hand it off.
And if you can just sit back there and do this.
Makes your job easy.
I know it hurt Clay Hyatt, obviously. He was upset. I'm sure he was a little upset about it. But at the end of the day, I love me some Mark Harris. And somebody, West Georgia.
Man, West Georgia.
I know he's 5'9". I don't care if you're 5'9", 5'10".
He plays the football like he's 15 feet tall.
I know.
He's
a dude.
I'm going to tell you, Harrison County got their money. I don't know how much money ended up going to Mark Harris's education while he was at Harrison County, whether it's pads or traveling or whatever. Guys, I remember when he was an eighth grader. I was at Harrison County. He was an eighth grader. He played football, and then he played basketball, but he also wrestled for the middle school team as an eighth grader as well, and then he played baseball and then ran track. You talk about an Iron Man. He's a legitimate Iron Man. Like this guy is a throwback, just athlete. Let it happen. Just a guy, and he does defensively. He hits you. You stay hit. He is a tremendous safety. He has great eye discipline. I mean, he's like a Jim Thorpe type guy. Mm-hmm. He's just an athlete. You ask him to do something, he can do it. So, congratulations to him on winning the Iron Man. He's deserving. Whoever gets him, you want to talk about a steal, he's a steal.
He's a great kid, too. You and I got to talk to him at Media Day, and he's a lot of fun to talk to. And
he's got a silly
side. Yeah, he does. So
another, the other two kids that were considered, Scooter Tanner, obviously.
Absolutely.
And they had a place on our team, obviously, and Tucker Hendricks. Those are really the other two kids that had some serious consideration. But we all pretty much agree that, Mark Harris was the guy.
A dude.
Yep. I'm going to tell you right there. Guy is a dude.
Defensive player of the year. I mean,
biggest argument.
This was by far the biggest argument we had. And it was really, really interesting. Thank you for Clay Harden for pretty much leading this. And he was like, we're going to start this off. Here's my opinion. And we go from there. And it was just like he threw out his defensive player. I don't even remember who it was. It may have been who our winner is. But he threw it out. And I was like, I think, like, unanimously, everybody was like, wah, 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 wah. This was such, after we finally broke down everything, we realized just how special this kid was and what he did for this program. So I'm really excited, and I can't wait for Matt to announce this, but I mean, this kid was really, really good.
Yeah, and this was our tightest decision right here. This was the tightest vote. It was one vote. Yeah. One vote separated the decision right here. I think you would understand why when you listen to our list of defensive players that we just named, they're all really good.
And if you're paying attention, you know that this player
hadn't been named yet.
Hasn't been mentioned yet. So
the Chief Borders.
Yes, sir.
Chief Borders broke the Heard County tackling record.
That is
in eight games.
That's the biggest stat for me that I think pushed me over the edge for Chief was the fact that he did break the tackle record.
Well,
he
single-handedly won the Harrelson County game. Him and Tyler Lassiter got every single tackle in that football game.
Yeah. I mean, I need you to know that's by design.
Oh, I know.
I was impressed with that game
plan
defensively.
And that's how you stop the Harrelson County. Yes. Your front, and got to give credit to that defensive line for keeping them open. But Chief had a fantastic
year. Yes, he did.
And he was... So
I think he had 722 tackles that night.
He's the most unselfish football player, the most unselfish big time football player
really
I have ever seen.
He really was.
I mean, you got a great story about him at Carrollton.
Yeah.
He played tight end and fullback at Heard.
Yes.
Like what 4 or 5 star kid wants to say, man, I'm going to play fullback.
Yeah, I think coaches story
when I could be in the slot, I could be the slot guy or the tight end catching all the passes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the little story when he spent a little bit of time at Carrollton, to me, that's the epitome of who he is. I think I didn't spend a lot of time with one-on-one time with him, but I know that when he came into Carrollton, obviously Carrollton's got some pretty good linebackers. Three of them were mentioned already tonight between Jared Ned, Brock Bibby, and Chaz Chambliss. And he's like, you know what, we're pretty good at linebacker. Coach, you want to play some secondary? I'll play some safety for you. Move some guys around. And so they moved him to safety, and then we're getting ready to play that first game, and we're short on some defensive line. And he's like, Coach, you want to play some defensive line? I can go down there and play that too. And so he is. He's a team first guy. And obviously, that's kind of where his heart is. And it doesn't matter if you jump. I mean, that guy is a team first guy. And he went to a good program that allowed him to be a team first guy. But obviously, he was able to show out, made a lot of tackles this year. Yeah. So that's
and he did a really good job, and I think the defensive coordinator down at Heard County did a really good job of moving him around too.
Yes.
Because
yes.
there was a lot of times that he would line up a linebacker. There were some times that he would line up on the defensive line. There were yeah. some times that he was lining up pretty much in the secondary. Yeah. It was where is Chief Borders and how can we account for him? Because yeah. that's a big thing, yeah. especially like we mentioned when you set the tackles record at Heard County. In 8 games, that's insane to me. So, I mean, the kid's good. He's going to, you know, that team
worst
down
thing
south.
About him. Worst thing about
that
him.
Team down
Love
south
him.
For you
he
guys.
He almost went to Stanford.
I'm still rooting. I'm still rooting for something to happen there.
But he's really good, and he was fun to watch this year for sure.
Offensive player of the year. This was, I mean, really and truly, it came down. There are 3 or 4 players that could have been offensive player of the year or MVP, and we've already
mentioned a couple of them.
Yeah, we've already mentioned a couple of them, and this kid right here, Narada Levitt from Central, he was tops in the state in rushing for a while, and he only played what 9 games and ran for 1,600 yards. Just a fantastic season, and was the cornerstone and a guy
bringing
that,
Central back to the playoffs.
Yes,
I mean that you are when you he ran. In one of those games, and I can't remember who they were playing, but he ran for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns in that game.
I believe
and
that
it was
Northwest Whitfield region game,
which was huge.
He scored 56 in that game. He's got 5 touchdowns just in that game.
I mean, the kid was really, really solid, and for coming off of, you know. Last year, you didn't really think who's Narada Levitt. You weren't really preparing for Narada Levitt. So having Narada Levitt just come bounce onto the scene, he was up for. I mean, I thought he was up for newcomer of the year because I mean, you really didn't think of Narada Levitt last year. So having him have the season that he had, it was just absolutely special. Yeah. He had the kind of season that Phillip Johnson had last year, where he was just you were good luck trying to stop him.
Yeah. No, I mean he did. He was. When you talk about game changers, he's the game changer. Where's this guy at? We got to tackle him. We're going to hand him the ball. It's almost like the old Herschel Walker. You know, the best quarterback in Georgia history is not Buck Blue, even though he won a national championship. He turned around and gave the ball to Herschel Walker 35 times a game, and all 11 players on the other side of the football were like, yeah, 34 is getting it. We got to go tackle him. Still didn't work out very well for him. Okay? They all knew the deuce was getting it. The deuce still got loose, right? He had a tremendous season. Obviously, the offensive line, coach staff did a great job, but he had a tremendous season. It was fun to watch him compete. He liked – I remember that same game, actually, that we're talking about. It was in the first half, and it was like 4th down and 800 yards to go. And he looks to the side. I was like, coach, give me the ball. I'll get the first down. I saw that, and that's just being a competitor. So very well-deserved offensive player of the year. I know, Matt, are you going to read stats? What
yeah,
you got right there?
That's what I was going to look at. He was the region player, offensive player of the year. 255 carries.
Good Lord.
255
in 9 games?
That's a few.
In 9 games?
In 1,700 yards rushing.
Good.
16 touchdowns. So I was a little off of the touchdowns, but 16 touchdowns.
Still,
total.
Man. I mean, that's just solid. And if you really think about it, how many – and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if he had 16 touchdowns, how many touchdowns did Central score all year?
Yeah.
I mean, he had to have been the main purpose of or the main reason behind behind their offense.
Absolutely. And now the moment you guys have been waiting for.
You want to talk about unanimous.
Yep.
This was unanimous pretty much. I mean, there was this kid when we talked about it and talked about just when you speak about an MVP, we talked about this earlier in the podcast. If you take this person off of this team is not doing as well as they did. I mean, that's just the definition of an MVP to us.
Number 7, Ashton Bonner.
Right.
5'5", 139. This is from his coach. This is from his head coach. This is from Coach Lassiter.
Okay.
5'5", 139 pounds. That might have been generous, too. What do you think, Coach?
I think for the first time, you know, most I give Brent a hard time the other day. They always give you about 3 inches and about 20 pounds on the list there. But, yeah, I'd get him at about 140. But like you guys said, absolutely. You got some more stuff you want to read? Go ahead. Keep going.
On defense, 67 total tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions, 12 pass breakups. he blocked three kicks, one defensive touchdown.
And
on offense.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
Those 12 pass breakups, I swear, were the biggest plays in those games.
Yeah.
The biggest plays.
No doubt. Offensively, 135 carries, 965 yards, that's 7 yards a carry, 12 rushing touchdowns, 10 catches, 186 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had an interception return for a touchdown, so that's 16 total touchdowns for Ashton Bonner, who was the third-string running back
on Hurd County.
Coming into the season.
That's my biggest point, is the fact that he led Hurd County after he finally got a chance to go.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing for me, is the fact that how well he led. You had to plan for Ashton Bonner, and that's, I mean, the kid was just so solid all season.
I'm going to steal Coach's point, and I'm going to let him finish the point.
Yeah.
Because he made the biggest point when we were at the Bremen Hurd County game. Second drive of the game.
Yep.
He goes out, sprains his ankle. I mean, he sprained it. And he taped that back up and went in the very next drive. And what did they do? They went down and scored right before halftime.
Yeah.
He was a big component, caught a couple of big passes on that drive, and they scored.
Yeah.
And you looked at me and said, that guy's a dude.
Yeah.
I remember it. You didn't know who it was at the time. That's Ashton Bonner, baby.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, we've heard his name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that guy is a dude.
There's not a lot of guys with that build that I say that about. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I say that, they're linebackers, they're fullbacks. This guy had the heart like he was 6'3, 215 pounds. When I watch him, and he was hurting guys, like he was in pain. And if you have not been a running back and sprained an ankle, this guy's a skill guy with a sprained ankle. No offense to the offensive lineman, but when you're 300 pounds and you take two or three steps forward, and this, look, it's not a shot. I'm just telling you the way that it works. You step forward. You can play with a sprained ankle pretty well, right? When you're a skill guy, that's difficult to do.
You can and jive every
And not play. Just, a, you know, let's just say you're a big fullback type guy. You can run forward. But when you're a corner and you've got to change directions on a dime and you've got to pull guys, that's difficult to do.
When you're in a skill position and you have to cut.
Yes. And when he sat on that trainer's table and he's grimacing, he looks at her and I says, tape this up, I gotta get back in. I was like, that guy's a football player.
And he grabbed his helmet and he went back on defense.
He did. And I was super impressed with him as a competitor. And he was the leader of that football team. You know, they went as he went with him in the game. And again, offensive, defense, special teams. The fourth down play that you talked about earlier, who ran that football? Mr. Bonner. So I was as impressed with him as anybody that I saw this year that I did not already know. It was that guy, and I was wholeheartedly in to give him my vote for this.
Well, looking at Hurd County, I know we got to wrap up, and we're getting ready to wrap up. This has been episode 34. We've had a blast, and I don't care if so long. These kids deserve the praise.
And that's the thing. Banquets are long for a reason. Yeah. These kids deserve it because you talk bad about them, they make mistakes. I got to take a few minutes to talk about the good things and be positive. It's okay.
But Hurd County, think about their season. I mean, all the injuries they had.
Yep.
For every win that they had, their first five wins, they lost five kids. At a double-A school.
Yeah.
That is really, really hard to do. All ACLs or knees. We're not talking
about a
sprained thumb. We're talking about knees, ankles. I mean, stuff that takes time to heal. And they lost those games right there in the middle. You know, they lost to – went up to Cedartown and got embarrassed. I mean, it was 35 to nothing or 28 to nothing before you could blink at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
They lost to Central. Central put it on them.
Yes.
And then they start region play.
Back to back, too. I mean,
this is three games.
And then they get their guts ripped out.
Yeah, they get up big on Temple, and they blow the game.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And they come back, and they have a chance to win the region title.
Yes.
You can't make that story up. I mean, that's like a perfect kind of – I know it didn't
– Terrible perfect storm.
Terrible perfect storm.
That they overcame.
They beat really good football teams.
Yeah, they overcame.
And overcame a whole lot. And that just goes with what Tim Barron and Coach Lassner and those guys build up down there. But congratulations to Ash.
Don't bet on Tim Barron.
Yeah.
I remember those podcasts that we were for those games. And look what happened. Those three games. Yeah, I was like, wait a second, Coach.
Didn't lose faith, though. Did not lose faith.
Congratulations to Ashton Bonner.
That's right.
Like we said, this has been episode 34. We're glad we're back in the saddle. We're going to be doing this a lot more again. Guys, we've got Hawks basketball to talk about.
Hey.
We've got Falcons offseason to talk about. Thank goodness. Maybe
we got wrestling playoffs coming up.
Hey, maybe, by the time we reach, you know, episode, you know, 60, we may have a GM by then, Matt.
Okay.
I mean, that's, we needed to hire that's a another that's maybe another by, 16 weeks. You think the Falcons will have one by 16 weeks?
As I promise you, I could do a better job doing that as a part-time gig.
All SEC, so give me a call, guys. Players.
It's not hard. Go get the best players. I don't care what position they play. Go get the best players. They're football players.
And of course, and I'll leave this to Matt, and we may have to tease this a little bit. Matt, do you want to talk about the announcement that we may be making?
Basketball on the Facebook page.
Yes, sir. We are calling basketball games on Facebook. Yes. Local high school basketball coach.
Central at Villarica next week.
Coach.
First game.
Yay.
Let's think about this.
Great job for the kids. I'm excited for the
there
kids.
You go. There you go.
And you should be happy for your employee.
We're used to this. We're used to this. We're going to keep working. We don't need y'all to see us work. We're going to just keep working anyway.
I don't remember the last time I heard a radio broadcast of a wrestling match.
That's okay. I don't need you to remember. Tell you what you will remember last time you got your tail handed to you by wrestling. Hey, you'll remember that. I'll tell you that.
I love you, Coach.
We don't need a little recognition. But, you know, it's kind of like my favorite Bible story, right, David? And I know we're here. Deal with it. Here's another story. You know, everybody for a very long time taught that story incorrectly. David versus Goliath. He was this big underdog, and God sprinkled some Jesus juice on him, and he killed Goliath. That's not what happened at all. Read the chapters before. David tending his sheep as a young man. A lion comes upon him. He kills the lion. The bear comes upon him. He kills the bear. I don't need you to come and tell me that I'm the number one ranked team in the country. I know I am. It doesn't matter that you show up. We can train in the dark. We'll compete in the dark. We'll keep moving. Okay? So David was not.
We love you, Coach.
David showed up and did all that work in the dark, and he believed in himself. You know what I'm saying? He didn't need all that stuff. So it wasn't this thing where David was just automatically anointed by God to go win this battle. He had put the work in to get it done. So just reminds me of that story. We'll just keep working in the dark.
Well, it's a huge, huge game.
We should probably cut that out.
No, we're keeping that in.
Definitely.
It was a huge podcast. We were teasing it early in the week, and I think Matt and I, we were talking about it and just felt that putting it on the podcast would be good. We'll post this on social media too, and give people their due after we put it on the after the podcast comes out.
And so, we plan to have the football award show at the very beginning of February.
Hey,
pencil.
There we go.
We write in pencil during COVID.
For episode 34, for Matt Skinner, for Coach Nick White, I'm Billy Lindahl. We'll see you next week, guys.